¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. Primos are in the house. ¿Cómo estamos, boys?
Good.
On this cloudy, what's today, Wednesday? This cloudy Wednesday.
I know, it's a little, I'm just waiting for the rain, but.
Yeah, man. There's a rain in Southern California.
Not anymore.
Dude, I tell you, it is so cool. It was like a little oasis today in this whole crazy, all this craziness.
Yeah, man. It was nice to get a little bit of moisture, a little bit of rain.
I drove through Vegas like 3 days ago at 10 o'clock and it was 100 degrees. I was like, oh, hell no.
10 p.m.?
10 p.m.
Oh yeah, that's pretty.
There's no
that's
fun
pretty...
out there. You're gonna be sweaty before you hit the clubs.
Ay, Dios mío.
That's Vegas, man. You know, that's the trade off. You know, you're going to Vegas. You know, it's gonna be hot. That's why during the day you hang out at the pools. And I think over there at Stadium Swim at the Circa, the pool area, because they have all the TVs and sports going on. You guys should get to hang out there at the pool at night, even though I think even up to like 10 o'clock or even pretty late, as long as sports are on, they have all the TVs on and you can hang out there and get drinks.
That place looks pretty cool.
Yeah, dude. I haven't been.
It's kind of far away from the strip and everything, but that place is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's downtown. It's downtown. I mean, it's at the end, like where the Plaza Hotel is. It's like at the end of like the Fremont Street Experience. It's right there at the end. It used to be Las Vegas Club. They knocked down Las Vegas Club. And they built the circuit right there, but yeah, that Stadium Swim. I've seen enough of it. I've been inside circuit, walked around, I kind of checked it out. It looks pretty badass inside. The sports book inside is super legit, but by the pool
is
outside.
Is it like a sports theme? Is that what they're all about? Is sports?
I don't know if it's sports theme, but they definitely lean heavily towards like sports betting. I mean, it seems like it's the first hotel that's done that. I mean, sports betting is such a huger thing now. I mean, it's been big, but I mean, it's just blown up with DraftKings and FanDuel, and you know, I just saw a TV commercial for Caesar's Palace Sportsbook online. You know, I'm just like, whoa, you know, like everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. The sportsbook on your app bandwagon. So you know, I think it's only gonna get bigger. So. Put your money there. Put your money on that. Bet your money on the betting.
there's a stock called Bets with a Z, and it does all the betting stocks. So it's like
Right before football season,
buy a lot because it's gonna go off the next.
Yeah,
it's gonna go nuts for the next 6 months. It's gonna go off.
Yeah, if you're speculating,
if we have any lockdowns too, because people are gonna need something to do. So we'll see.
Here's the thing, and keep this in mind. One of these days, because right now you could only, because obviously the phone knows your location. You have to have your location on when you're betting from your phone. And you can only bet and you can only use, you know, the full access of all the capabilities of those apps in states where you can actually gamble, like so Nevada and New Jersey. You can actually use like your app on your phone to like place sports bets. So one of these days when other states in the country start opening up sports betting and gambling more than what it is. I think there's a handful of states I think that can do it, but it's going to open up. Like once California hits, forget about it. I mean, those online gaming stocks, put your money in there.
We're the biggest economy in the whole country. The second they let us bet, it's over.
Yeah, game over. So yeah, for sure. And we're so close to Vegas.
What are we supposed to talk about today?
Well, first off, let me finish the intros.
Yes, sir.
The primos are in the house. We got Primo Ricky Torres. Ricky, what's your Twitter handle?
Ricky Torres TV.
And we got What the Heck over here, Primo Hector.
Hector, there it is. What the Heck.
And you got me, Jorge Martin 17. Right here. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB and FamiliaFFB.com. But hey, Primos, I'm psyched. You know, we've been doing drafts. You know, I've got a couple drafts already and here's the thing. Here's one thing. And I did the Estadio Fantasy draft last night.
Nice.
And, you know, I was drafting
standard or what?
It's a half PPR, single QB,
okay,
two running backs, two receivers, one tight end, four flex positions. We went 18 rounds.
That's a lot.
Oh, it was estaba loco, 12 teams, and it was cool. It was very muy interesante because I was in with some you know baller players from all around Latin America. There were leagues in Europe, you know, Spain, everything. It was crazy.
That's pretty cool.
So what I saw was that quarterbacks did kind of go in the middle rounds. I mean, obviously Mahomes was the first one off. Josh Allen was number
middle,
two.
Like 7-8. Or are you talking
four or five.
Okay, 4-5. That's early.
Yeah, Mahomes went late in two, and then you had Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, all go in the 4-5 range. I got Tom Brady in the ninth round, and then I got as my backup because nobody you know I, as my backup I grabbed Matthew Stafford in the 12th round.
Wow.
People are still waiting on kids. I mean, Matthew Stafford should be a starter in a 12 team league. He should be a starter. And the thing is, the thing with this league is there's no trading. So I grabbed Stafford as a strategy play to keep him away from somebody who's, but like Jalen Hurts went late and the tight ends went early. The Kelsey, Kittle, Waller, they were all gone by the late second round.
Who was first, Kelsey or Kittle?
Kelsey. I had
automatic.
I had the 10th pick. I had the 10th pick, and I grabbed Kelsey. So
Kittle's not even going second right now. Kittle's going third behind Waller.
Yeah, and I still think I think when push comes to shove that Kittle is going to finish in front of Waller or Kittle. Maybe Waller finishes in front of Kittle. But I want Kittle in week 17 against the Houston Texans. I want Kittle that week at home against the Houston Texans. That's my play. I want the 49ers. If I've got any kind of, you know, if I'm 50-50 with
you're speculating, you're going to make the championship.
You always got to think you're playing for the chip, baby. Always got to think you're – come on.
That's how I felt, but I lost in the first round. Otherwise, I would have taken it all, but I lost in the first round. So just be careful because I planned like that last year, and I ended up getting screwed over in the first round.
Yeah,
but even though Kamara blew up the finals.
Yeah, would you have done anything different?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it's
– Yeah, it's I wouldn't have traded for CMC.
You always trading those injured guys, man. What are you doing?
Because I love it. It's discount, brah.
Yeah, brah.
But I will say, yeah, it's muy interesante. I mean, the things that I'm seeing in drafts right now are just, you know, people are starting. One guy that's slipping that's kind of interesting to me is Jalen Hurts. He's falling in that Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford range.
Why is he falling? That's interesting.
He's got so much potential. His ceiling is high.
That's the thing. And I think people, and actually I'm interviewing a writer from Sports Illustrated on Friday. So I'll be releasing that more than likely on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to find out like what's the thoughts. I know there've been talks. There's talks about trade talks. The interview that I dropped today with Stephanie Stradley of the Houston Chronicle, it does not make any sense for anybody to trade for Deshaun Watson or for them to trade Deshaun Watson with all of the uncertainty about all the legal, the legal uncertainty right. around
the so, legal, is there legal still entanglements. Legal uncertainty?
There's oh, yeah. still look at like legalities
investigations
to go
are
around.
Happening. Yeah. There's been no suspensions. There's no criminal charges have been filed against him. There are investigations that are happening. People are being questioned. He's been questioned. He hasn't been questioned by the NFL. He's been questioned by the FBI. So but when it comes down to it, it's kind of like the big thing takeaway. And I really, familia community, I really, really stress. I've already seen a lot of people who've been jumping on to view that. check that interview out. The part with about Deshaun Watson is in like the first 10 minutes. And Stephanie really, she's also a lawyer as well as being a sports writer. So she I was like, she's perfect. And she's
fantastic. That's like a pretty broad, spectrum.
Who's in hotter water, him, Watson, Bauer? Or Bauer?
I think Bauer, because he's actually in court right now. So,
but that would make
me talk about that. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about
too
that.
Close
let's
leave to that home.
For, yeah, let's leave. Yeah, let's leave that for another day. Let's
too close to home, man. Too close to home, Dodgers.
Yeah, but yeah, check out the interview with Stephanie Stradley, and she also. Actually, the Beat Writer series has been fantastic. It's definitely been filling up. These days had the Steelers earlier in the week. Again, I'm going to drop the Tennessee Titans tomorrow. Hint: they've got a lot of good players. So to talk a few good players.
Yeah, they have a couple. They have a couple. Yeah. So I've heard they have a couple.
But yeah. And Familia, you could see everything archived on our YouTube channel. So all of the interviews are archived on there. So
check them out. Check them out.
And please give us a like. But Primo, let's get into some cheese man.
Cheese man.
So we got a sad face, Primos. Tim Tebow. Adios.
Oh, no.
Adios. Got waived. So
he's probably going to go be a model now or something. Everyone's like, oh, look at how cut he is, man. Well, now he is cut.
Going to be a model. He's going to be a commentator for college football. He's not an NFL tight end, unfortunately.
He'll
it would have been fun. It would have been fun.
It's going to be fun. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see.
I mean, the guy's great. As a commentator, he's great. I think he's got like a lot of cool insight. He's intelligent guy. You know, he's kind of witty. And so hey, I think that's more of his fit is, you know, get behind the microphone and you know, give us some insight on the game. So that's probably a better fit for him.
I feel like he should just retire from the public eye. Like,
¿Por qué?
I don't want to say I've had enough of him. It's just, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I guess I'm over Tebow. Because everything he does, it's a spectacle. It's like, oh my god!
Yeah, right. Did he play baseball? I'm like, minor league.
Yeah, he played for the Mets.
The Mets.
No, he played major league, didn't he? Or no?
He didn't get up to the major leagues. I think he got up to AAA. You know, I mean, all of those things. You play. You know, everything he does. He goes to Starbucks, and TMZ is there probably. Like, so
I think he'll be fine. He's gonna make money somehow, some way. Yeah, he'll probably be in a Super Bowl commercial. You know, he'll be fine.
In a Super Bowl commercial.
That's
he'll
an excellent guess.
He'll be right? in one of those Heisman. He'll be in one of those Heisman commercials that they do. I think the like State Farm or something like that or whatever.
He'll be fine.
Let's talk about some players who are going to play. And Carson Wentz getting antsy to play. Primos.
Hey, I heard his rehab's been going pretty well, right? He should be coming around the mountain pretty soon, right?
Walking without a boot, but I still think they're going to slow play him. I would be.
You have
I think
to.
I think it's better foot. Than 50. I think yeah, exactly. It's a foot. You don't want to aggravate that. I don't see him playing on week one. I think they're. It's going to plus the fact that they won't have their starting tackle ready by then. So yeah, you want him with a.
So foot. You don't want to push it.
Right, no. and they might not have, and there's no word on Quentin Nelson. They're starting their All-Pro left guard. So, do you want his blind side being a replacement left tackle and a replacement left guard potentially on week one? No, you don't play. You don't. No, no. They're going to slow play it. Plus, also no se les olvide, the fact is if he doesn't play a certain number of snaps, they don't have to give up the first round. They being the Colts. So, eso es algo to think about.
It's all poker, man. It's all poker and politics. Yeah, they'll play.
And honestly, from what I heard from last year, the Indy defense is stout. So hopefully the first few games they can hold them off so they don't need to blow out teams because they didn't blow out teams last year. So I think Wentz can take his time, and he needs to. The dude's not young anymore. He seems to get injured every freaking year. Play it slow, bro. Right?
Agreed. Yeah,
It'll take a while. Well, one guy who's also playing it slow, Dak Prescott. Thank God. Limited in practice, but today he threw gradually. So
what does that mean? He threw
that means he wasn't throwing any bombs. He wasn't throwing any bombs.
Gotcha. Nice and easy.
Just doing the motion.
Doing the motions.
Even though it's his leg he broke.
Well, he put weight on it too.
It's his leg he broke, but it's really his shoulder that's been the issue.
Oh.
So he injured something rehabbing from his ankle.
No, his ankle, there is no issues with his ankle. You missed it. There was a they were practicing, you know, the long bombs at the end of practice, and he threw one and pulled a muscle in his lat, or you know, a lat muscle, like if you lift up your arm like this, it's like right, you know, like yeah, you know, right above your, like where your ribs connect to your back,
your wings if you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah, exactly.
Those wings.
Eso duele. Eso duele.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Dave Mendelson. Órale, papi. ¿Cómo estás? ¿Cómo estás? Say hi to Maryland. Say hi to Maryland. Saying hi to Maryland.
That's a hot picture.
He's probably, I'm telling you. Yeah. Check him out on YouTube. He, no days off. He takes no days off. Nunca.
That's
nunca,
good. Nunca, that's nunca. Good.
He's probably doing curls right now. So I just, yeah. But no, Dak is, so he was throwing bombs at the end of practice and he pulled the muscle. So vamos a ver, it's, you know, I think from
Cowboy fans still think he's going to be MVP.
Of course. He's going to be the MVP. They're going to the Super Bowl, you know, like they have every year for the last 25 years.
Get the Dak tattoo, championship tattoo. There's always like every year there's something on Instagram or on somewhere on the news where some Dallas Cowboy fan gets the, this year they're winning the championship tattoo.
Of course.
So we'll see that. That's coming.
Hey, you know what? Tommy Lasorda used to every year predict that the Dodgers are going to win a World Series.
Hey, that's
you know, in January he'd do.
He bleeds blue, literally course. Though. So.
Well, yeah, he bled all the way. But hey, R.I.P. Tommy. R.I.P.
Yes, yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into some more cheesemate because we got a lot of guys to talk about. Robbie Anderson didn't practice on Wednesday. Potentially, you know, some soft tissue type of stuff. They didn't say what it was, but you know, he has had some hamstring issues. You know, something we got to keep an eye on. Una cosa that we need to keep an eye on. You know, just like that, just like Chase Claypool, you know, falling, you know, tripping on his ankle. That's another thing to kind of keep an eye on, just to kind of see. So vamos a ver.
My hope is that news like this will make Robbie Anderson's stock go down, and I'll swipe him up because he's got a better quarterback this year. He's got a quarterback he's had before, behind DJ Moore. Yeah, and he's got CMC, so I feel like he's got enough distractions to let just Robbie go wild.
Yep.
Yeah, he might
my sleeper for the year. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Just like you guys like Kamara slip last year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
for sure.
We definitely want to see him keep falling down. Keep falling down.
Yeah.
So another one, kind of a offensive line, because, you know, we do stress the offensive line here at Familia FFB. Those big fat guys
Joe Burrow, man.
Los que tienen la barriga, you know, we love those guys, you know, protecting them. Tevin Jenkins, left tackle,
the big boys,
you know, first round, you know, actually not first round, second round pick for the Chicago Bears, back surgery. For a big guy, eso no es bueno. They did just sign Jason Peters, former all pro left tackle for the Eagles. His best days are behind him, but maybe he's just got a little bit, maybe he's got enough left for another season. But a back surgery for a tackle. I mean, it reminds me of the tackle for the Bengals, I forget his name. The left tackle for the Bengals. All the names are running together right now. He missed his rookie year after having back surgery.
I don't know any left tackles, so good for you for knowing the first name.
But how does that even happen? You just got drafted, and now you're having back surgery like a couple months
later. They're pushing. I feel like they're pushing themselves harder now. You know, they're trying to impress. They're trying to get especially when you're that high of a round, you're trying to become a starter. And because even Rashawn Slater of the Chargers injured his back recently, he didn't get no surgery. But it's just these guys, everything's new to them. Because I feel like rookies get injured all the time.
It's a transition. It's a transition to the NFL.
Exactly. Game. It's and they're just trying to impress. They're trying to prove that they belong there.
Get bigger, stronger, faster, but they're doing it too quickly, and they're getting hurt.
You know what? And the crazy thing is, yeah, it could be. I mean, these guys are so big that, you know, one wrong move, it's a big body that moves away that it shouldn't, and le hace cosa. Heck, you know, I stood up too fast yesterday, and you know, my back went.
Yeah, dizzy.
Yeah. Sit.
I had to lay down. I had to lay down on a bag of ice, and Advil is my friend.
No, that was me, man. Remember a couple of months ago, I jumped. I just jumped to catch a baseball, and I completely ripped up my calf. I pulled something nasty in my left calf. And
you guys are scaring me because I just started the softball league.
Hey, man, stretch.
I do not want to get it. I did yoga before the game yesterday, and I was tired, so I cannot
stretch
those legs. Keep those stretched, like especially the calves. That's your
hammies. Yes, calves.
Agree on that. I pull those like crazy.
Everything behind your leg, stretch it.
All right, so you guys remember Eddie Murphy, right?
Heck yeah, yes. Bro. Eddie Murphy.
Murphy Delirious. He's got the ice cream man. He's got the ice cream man routine. He's talking about ice cream. He wants some ice cream.
I remember in your bedroom at the Pacoima house, you had a little boom box and you had a little cassette tape. I think it was a white cassette tape. It was Eddie Murphy Delirious. You had that. I'm pretty sure your mom didn't know you had that.
I played it just loud enough. So the mom couldn't hear. Yes,
there was a white cassette tape in your bedroom, man.
And actually, you want to know who introduced me to that?
One of your theos,
Kyle.
Your dad, Ricky. Your dad. Your dad. He goes, hey, mijo, I'm gonna come pick you up. We're gonna watch it. You know, I got an Eddie Murphy video.
VHS tape.
We went there, and I think we watched it twice. Laughed our butts off. This is before your mom and dad had kids, so I guess they looked me as one of their kids. Yeah, Eddie Murphy Delirious, but he had that routine where he goes, I got some ice cream. He got some ice cream, and he goes,
you can't have none.
Want to lick? Psych. You know, so psych out. We're talking psych out today. We are talking players who had a lot of these players had a high ADP last year, and maybe they hurt you. Did they hurt you? Eso duele. Some of them hurt you. I know one of those guys, heck, hurt you and is one of the first guys that we're going to talk about. But, we're looking at is there an overcorrection in ADP on these players? And we're going to start off with Mateo Yello, Matty Ice. So he went as the QB 14 last year, the 11. QB 8.
Are you sure? QB 8, yeah.
Yeah, it was QB8 last year, going in the 8th round. This year, he's going QB 14 in the 11th round. What has changed?
He lost Julio. Yeah. He played crappy last year. So I can see it, but honestly, he's going to be a steal too because now he's got Kyle Pitts to help out. He's going to take a lot of attention. Gage is still really good. Ridley's still really top 10.
I don't think Ridley gets enough credit, man.
The problem is they don't have a running game. And if Matt Ryan can't get these passes off, they're done because all they got to do is blitz them. So they need to develop a running game, and they just don't have one. I like Gurley better last year on their team than what they're presenting now. So it's okay, like, I'll tell you this. Matty.
I got something for you, though. They're still going to be – their defense is still not going to be good. So they're still going to need to
throw a lot. Their defense, holds the first half and lets the second half go, ever since the Super Bowl.
But that's the thing. Are they going to be good enough? Are they going to be good enough? I don't think they're going to be good enough.
Georgie. That's okay, though, because you want the shootouts. You want the garbage time.
Right.
That's why Ridley was a top 10 wide receiver last year, but Matty Ice just wasn't consistent enough, and they need a running back. They need something so that Matty doesn't have to worry that much.
How is their running game? Mediocre, decent, or horrible?
I think it's bottom 10. I think it's going to be bottom 10.
I don't think it's bottom 10.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to be a throwing team.
They're going to toss it. And again, remember, garbage time. The thing you have to remember about in garbage time is when that defense is already winning by a lot, They're going to let some slide. You know what? The guy doesn't want that. Guy, that DB doesn't want to pull his hammy. That safety doesn't want to pull his hammy. They're going to be going 75% when they're up by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So yeah, Maddie's going to get some freebies to Ridley. You know, I see Ridley being the guy. You know, I think the whole, like you said, Gage and Pitts. They're going to – that squad's going to go off because, yeah, they're going to be losing a lot of games.
I'm getting higher and higher on Pitts every day, it seems like. I want to downplay him, but then I'm just like, there's so many – he's going to get Julio's targets. That's the
– What did he get drafted in your last draft?
Who?
Pitts. What round?
Estadio
Fantasy, fourth round.
Estadio Fantasy, yeah.
Cuatro. So that's where
I have a draft in 2 weeks, so I need to prepare because I really want Pitts.
He's going. Yeah, expect to see him in the fourth round.
Yeah, Maddie's going to be a steal. Yeah, going QB 14, and that's not a starter. That's crazy.
So we got.
Forget about it.
Daniel Jones. So he went off last year. So people had the year two hype around him. Last year he was the QB 15 going in the 11th round. This year, you know, after 15 rounds, he's going undrafted. 15, 16 rounds. He's, you know, Fantasy Football Calculator goes through 26 quarterbacks and he was not drafted. And, you know, there's a part, I mean, I know it was a bad year, but they put weapons around him.
But didn't Kenny G just get hurt? Kenny G's hurt, right? He came up.
Kenny G's always hurt.
They're expecting him to be back. They're expecting him to be back.
Right, but understand this. Kenny G, outside of Saquon Barkley, Kenny G's the first guy off the board, you know, on the Giants offense. He's going in at 609. You know, and after him, who's even around after him? Who's
Sterling Shepard and Slayton?
Yeah,
we're talking about on the team.
They're on the team, but I mean, I don't know, man. I mean,
Sterling Shepard, Darius Clayton. I mean, those are going to be guys that, I mean, to me, the thing is, I think Daniel Jones is worth the dart throw. I really think he's worth the dart throw as either a second QB or
he's got legs too.
He's going to run the ball a little bit. The line is not going to be good, and he does not, he has not done well without time, but I'm kind of like, I definitely in a super flex or two QB league, I'm grabbing him at the very least as my third quarterback. I don't know if I'm grabbing him as my second, but I'm definitely grabbing him as my
third. Stash.
But I mean, the thing is, because the legs, and it's kind of a make or break year. And when it comes down to it, if I got a guy in a make or break year, I want to at least. I may want to grab him and put him on my roster just in case. I mean, Josh Allen was definitely not
a. He's undrafted. Kind of pick him up off the waivers.
Could be off the waiver wire. Yeah, could be off the waiver wire.
I mean, think about this. Saquon,
I think he'll get drafted, though.
Barkley is going RB8 right now. I mean, as talented as he is, people are scared of the Giants' offense. If Saquon Barkley is the eighth running back being drafted.
I think that's also because they don't know if he's going to play week one. So people would rather have CMC, Kamara,
Henry. There's still low confidence. The confidence level in the Giants offense is pretty low overall.
It is. And Saquon's one of the guys that I also put on the list. You know, he's going at the end of the first round. A Fantasy Football Calculator has him going off as the RB10. Last year he was number two. And, you know,
hey, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a big drop. That's a huge drop, man.
That's a huge drop for a guy who's going to get a ton of quantity. He's going to get
that line sucks. Like you're saying, that line is.
You say it's a big drop, but CEH has an even bigger drop than that.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into
CEH was right behind him, but I just feel like Saquon, at least he's done it. We've seen him do it, so that risk still has a ceiling that we've seen. Obviously, his floor is zero, but if you can get Barkley as the 10th pick, I mean, how could you pass that?
Means he may even be past the 10th pick. He's a 10th running back. There's Devontae or somebody, some other wide receiver.
I'm gonna get him. I'm gonna get him in the second round in our family league.
You just might. Whatever. Oh yeah, you're on the way back around. You know what? The thing is, it's. I think people are worried about the knee, and also they're rated the number 32 offensive line. Here's one thing that I learned though on our on you know when I interviewed the writer for from SB Nation, Jeremy Portnoy. He pointed out that when Saquon had that monster rookie year, his offensive line was about as bad as this one. Was just about on the same level. I think at the end of the season, Pro Football Focus ranked them number 25. Yeah. So it wasn't a good offensive line.
32 is pretty crappy though.
32 is pretty bad.
32.
I mean, they can't get worse than that, so they could just be nothing. But,
it could be nothing, or they could only get from there. They can.
Right. When you're 32, the drop between 31 and 32, you don't know how bad it is because they're 32. It could be like miles. You know what I'm saying? So that's a scary thought. Like they could be.
But I'm gonna take a chance on Saquon. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna take a chance on him if he comes to me. Not at 7. I don't know if I can take him at 7.
Right.
I want to know something in the Estadio Fantasy Bowl. He went número dos.
What?
Número dos. Yeah, you went número dos.
Yeah, that guy's
what
not
pick were you?
I was picked 10. So that's why I went
you
Kelsey.
Must have been okay.
Yeah. I went Kelsey. Kelsey.
You wanted to lock it up. I feel like you should have not gone Kelsey because you could have gotten a tight end on the wraparound, but hey, you're good.
Well, I got Nick Chubb on the wraparound. So I was
you very happy on the wraparound.
Hey now.
Chubb on the wraparound. I love it.
So let's get into CEH. Ricky, you brought him up. You know,
he was sixth overall last year.
Yeah.
And Hector swore by him. Everyone swore by him. It's like, why?
Well, yeah, he's a starting quarterback on the best.
And what
team
happens?
In the NFL.
But the best team in the NFL doesn't use their running backs like that. And I feel like they use a plethora of running backs. So I feel like that was a mistake. I think definitely this year he's in the right spot, middle of the second round. Kind of like how, you know, he's going to be right next to Eckler, what's his name, over in Oakland. So all the AFC West Josh running backs, Jacobs. Yeah, are going to be next to each other.
Well ahead of Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs has Kenyon Drake there, but Drake's garbage.
Right.
So I think Jacobs will be a nice little pickup. But no, for CEH, I don't trust him yet. I mean, how many great games did he have last year?
A couple.
He had a handful, but I think why he's dropping is because he got hurt late in the season and he missed the fantasy playoffs. So I think psychologically,
but even then, Georgie, he wasn't that great through the year. Look at how Hector did last season. So
yeah, he wasn't that great. Okay,
no, you're right. He did. CEH did not cash. I did not cash in on my CEH investment. I did not.
So that's why I feel like second round's perfect for him.
He wasn't that great, but. Year two, I preach it all the time.
Year two, yes.
They did not add to the running back room. I think they're going to use him in the passing game. He had a normal offseason.
I agree.
I think they'll
be part of the passing game now, just to open it up for Mahomes even more.
I would love to know last year the year two players that you loved, Georgie. I would love to know what happened to them, their season. Because I know Danny Dimes was a year two player for you.
He was a year two player for me last year, and he let me down. He let me down. Oh.
So that's what I want to see a list. If you can ever get a list,
you know what? I've got the scripts saved.
We'll do an episode.
I'll save this. I'll look at the scripts. I'll look at the script.
We'll do an episode of the year. The year two. We'll do a review of the year two.
Well, let's talk. Ricky, you talked about Josh Jacobs. He's going as the RB35.
Wow.
310. He was the RB8 last year at the 109. I think this is one of the biggest drops.
That's crazy.
Are you sure that's RB35 though? There's no way it's 35 if you're the third round, 10th pick. That's
wait a second. I'm sorry.
No, that's 35. That's the 35th pick.
I'm sorry. So RB19. RB19.
Oh, 19. There we go. Yeah. You know what? You're right. Yeah. I'm looking at. I'm on fantasy football calculator. Yeah.
But either way, 19 is low, and it's because of Kenyon Drake. It's because Jacobs. He dealt with small injuries here and there. Nothing major, but He wasn't as productive last year as he was his first year. So that's what's mainly going to do it. And not only was he not as productive, but now you have Kenyon Drake trying to be like, oh, I'm going to run the show. So I think if you can get him at the end of the second round, beginning of the third, that's worth it. But if you can get him late third round, take him. He's still going to have it mainly to himself. I just don't like the team, to be honest with you. I feel like the team's mainly a passing team. And because of Kenyon Drake, who knows what happens to the goal line. But, right. I mean, there's still a high ceiling with him. It's not completely gone. And I still feel like he's not far from being CEH. So, and the difference between those two in the rounds is, I don't know, it just shows you that you can get value for Jacobs that late.
And the interesting thing about Jacobs, he was still the RB8 overall at the end of the season. I mean, the thing with him, and also what we haven't talked about is he doesn't get a lot of work in the passing game. And I think a lot of people are expecting that Kenyon Drake is going to get eat up all the passing work. You know, Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review Journal, you know, he said they're going to run the ball plenty. And there's going to be a lot to go around for both for both Jacobs and for Kenyon Drake. So it's something really. I'm when I look at drafts, and if I'm chasing a running back at that point, I'm looking at Jacobs as possibly the last running back that's going to get the last running back drafted, who I think I can count on for 1,000 yards. I mean, guys after him, there's guys that are question marks. Darrell Henderson, is he going to get enough? Miles Sanders, is he going to get enough? You know, Miles Gaskin, Mike Davis, Travis Etienne. I don't think any of them you're looking at 1,000 yards. And so that to me is me hace cosa. If I'm drafting for certainty, I think Jacobs is a guy who's going to get 1,000 yards. I think he's going to be a poor man's Nick Chubb. Like the third round version of Nick Chubb. I don't think
he had a blow up game last year, right? Didn't he have like a 5 TD game or some kind of crazy game last year? Three TD.
Yeah. In week one.
It's been a while, right? Week one. Yeah. But then after that, it was kind of
CEH had a hell of a week one too, but.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. And it was all downhill from after week one. So.
So Ricky, you talked about the Baltimore running backs, and you mentioned them.
Those teams, just the committee sucks. It's great. I believe they don't have Mark Ingram, or at least he's not a big
correct. He's in Houston.
So they have Dobbins right now. Dobbins is going the sixth round, compared to last year he was in the second round. I don't know why he was that high. Even third round last year was too much for him, knowing that it was going to be a committee, knowing how young Dobbins is. However, Gus Edwards was actually one of the more productive running backs on the team the final 5-6 weeks. And I feel like Dobbins is the runner. Edwards is the banger. He's the one that's going to be pushing it in. And it's just like, I wouldn't want to waste a pick on them unless it's way, way seventh, eighth round. Cause I hate that committee. You never know. If you have them, it's a lottery pick. It's going to have to be your flex, and you might get 2 points. You might get 16, 20, but it's just, I do not like that committee. It screwed me last year because I feel like in every league I had one of them and none of them blew up. And by the time they blew up at the end of the season, I was already out of playoffs.
Yeah, Dobbins. I had a team that had Dobbins on it, and that was the case. And Edwards is a guy, Todd Karpovic, who covers the Ravens, you know, he talked about the fact that he thinks that Edwards is the guy that you want in the second half of the season because they're going to use him as that banger. So when it gets cold and it's that big guy that just kind of like bam, you know, bam, bam, bam into the line. So
almost like they're going to run a lot more. I think this year Baltimore is going to realize, stop trying to pass. Let's get back to Lamar running. Let's get back to just running.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they drafted those receivers. They drafted Rashad Bateman, who's hurt, unfortunately. They signed Sammy Watkins, who's looked good in camp. Marquise Brown has looked good. He's a little.
I will never think Sammy Watkins is good. ever.
We know that, Rick.
Everybody looks good. You know, so many guys look good in training camp. And then when Sammy Watkins will have a blow up game that will get him, that will get him people running to the waiver wire for him. And then, you know,
and that's it. Yeah.
That's what he does. Like, he did that last year. He got like in week one, he had like a crap load of yards.
You've been saying that about Sammy Watkins for like the last like 3 years, Rick, and it's always right. It's always.
I don't lie because like
it always happens. He has a blow up game.
I once won a fantasy championship because my buddy didn't put Sammy Watkins in, and that was the game where he had like 30 something points.
Right, he has like one blow up game, and then he disappears.
So I do love Watkins, but that's because he's predictable.
Well, one guy who's also predictable, let's get into some wide receivers. Tyler Boyd, you had the line of the day. Why?
Yeah, why? Tyler Boyd, he's been the man. He's been solid. He's been consistent on the Bengals. And for whatever reason, Tyler Boyd is going, he's going way down. Where's the latest, he's wide receiver 39, George, is that where he's at right now?
Yeah,
wide receiver 39.
So ninth round. So we have ahead of him, we have Ja'Marr Chase. He's a rookie. He hasn't played a single snap in the NFL going round five. Ahead of Tyler Boyd, who's again been consistent, proven himself to be a successful NFL wide receiver going in the ninth round.
Something that I appreciate from him the best. Yes. He's consistent.
Yes, and then after him in the pecking order, so Ja'Marr Chase is, for whatever reason, as the rookie, number one. Number two, T. Higgins, round seven. And yep. You know, this is his second year, right? Third year. So we have these youngsters that haven't necessarily proven themselves. Joe Burrow went out, obviously, last year, and we don't have a full season yet of realizing or understanding what he can do, T. Higgins. Tyler Boyd, for whatever reason, going in the ninth round. Again, like you said, George, why? I think this is the psych out thing that you've been talking about is, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, I know T. Higgins, that people are high on T. Higgins. And is it Ja'Marr Chase that Joe Burrow, they were homies in college, right? Back at LSU, is that the connection?
Everybody's looking at him. Everybody's looking at him to drop off. And you know what? It's
why,
you know, I hate to keep name dropping, but Lindsay Anderson from WKRQ, who was a reporter for the Beat Writer series, she predicted that Tyler Boyd was going to be, she's been predicting that Tyler Boyd was going to lead that team in targets. Maybe he's not going to have like the high touchdowns, but he's kind of going to be that guy, you know, that guy who gets
the safety valve,
Cooper Kupp, exactly.
Cup,
you know, that
consistent
kind of
great hands. That's the guy you want on your squad catching passes.
Exactly. So, you know, drop in two rounds, and it's all because of Ja'Marr Chase. It's not, you know, this is a guy who got 110 targets last year. He caught 79 of them. A lot of them against, you know,
after you can't compare hurt. College numbers. People are trying to.
Yeah, this is Boyd's number last year. Ja'Marr Chase, remember, he didn't play last year. So how long of that's why I'm not drafting Ja'Marr Chase, because I, you know, where he's going in that Chase Claypool area. Give me Chase Claypool over Ja'Marr Chase
all day long.
Give me Chase Claypool todo el día. Dámelo. All right, let's jump to me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Julio Jones. He's going off as the wide receiver 14. Fourth round, 404. Last year he was wide receiver 3, 202. He's 32. You know, he missed a good chunk of the season last year with hamstring issues. But this is still Julio freaking Jones, primos.
Yes,
Julio Jones. I mean, come on. Is this just crazy that he's dropping this far? Two full rounds?
It's value. It gives you value. I think it's still, I don't want to say it's risky. I don't want to give it up for Tannehill, because now it's like cheating. He's got Jones. He's got AJ Brown.
And I love it.
I feel like he can easily pepper both of them all day because he really doesn't have a good tight end anymore. They got like Fursker or whatever, Swain. Sure,
he's fine, but he's not going to.
But they're not going to be Jonnu Smith. So you figure when they're 10 yards out of the end zone, they're not going to a tight end. No. They're going to be going to one of those two big guys, especially because they can just jump up and grab the ball. And now Tannehill gets to pick whichever one doesn't have double coverage. So yeah. I think Julio is going to go up. The only problem is that it looks like he's going to get targets taken by A.J. Brown. But, I mean, that's low. Fourth round is low. I would love to have Julio and, let's say, like a Devontae Adams on my team. That would be a sick team. And you can do that if you get
– Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Wide receiver 3 last year to wide receiver 14 this year with a guy like Tannehill who's consistently been able to get the ball to his receivers. That's crazy.
Yeah, and he's an accurate quarterback. Mm-hmm. He averaged 30 passes a game last year. So I don't know if he jumps up this year. 30 passes to me, if I'm them, I'm throwing 10 to AJ Brown and 10 to Julio Jones.
And they don't throw it to the running back. They won't throw it to Derrick Henry.
They don't throw it to the running back. Yeah, that's the thing. Play action all day long. Can you imagine play action? You know, first down, second down, all of a sudden you look like you're gonna put it into Derrick Henry's gut, and then you pull it out, and all of a sudden you got Julio Jones open. Maybe Julio's open on one side or AJ Brown's open on the other side. Play action all day long. This is going to be good. Check out the episode with Tyler Rowland tomorrow on that's going to be coming out tomorrow.
On
remembering the Titans. all day long. So yeah. Speaking of Brown, so we've talked about Brown and we talked about AJ Brown. Let's go to Hollywood.
That was
last year, Rick. Didn't you draft last year, Rick?
I got psyched out. I drafted. He was the only player that I pretty much had in like every league, and I loved him. He did good. He was one of the top 10 or 5 wide receivers the last 5 games. He were at least in receptions and targets. And so touchdown. I feel like at the end of the year, the Ravens started getting to what they needed to do. This year, I feel like it's worth the risk. He's dropping from last year, 5th round, 12th pick, wide receiver 26. He's doubling it. He's going to the 11th round with the 54th wide receiver. So it's like he's got potential. Bro's got potential. I know they drafted a lot of wide receivers, but they're already getting injured. I feel like this is Hollywood's. And I'm still going to be on the Hollywood train. I'm going to get laughed at a lot at my draft in 2 weeks because they talked crap all season. but you got to do it. It's Hollywood. He's quick. He showed that he could do it. He just did it late.
The 11th
round. He had his sophomore jump a little late.
He's going in the 11th round. That's your reserves. That's your bench. Yep.
That's your bench.
I'll take a chance. I'll take that chance. Dámelo. Yo lo quiero. Dámelo. Ben aquí, Hollywood. Ben aquí. Yeah. It's
all day.
You mentioned that late finish. I mean, he was so good there. He was very good at the end. He was very good at the end. So I look at him and I'm just like, no, I'll take that chance. I will take that chance. So we got one last guy. And I've got an article that I'm about to publish on the Cleveland Browns.
I'll never draft this guy.
Jarvis Landry. Okay. Heck, you got that marked, right? You got that marked Wednesday night, just before 6:30, you know, Pacific. When we're on draft day and it's the 10th round. And let's see what Ricky gets it in the 10th round. So
he'd have to be the 12th round for me. I would way rather have Hollywood Brown over Landry, easily.
I think both of those are incredible values. I think they're incredible values. I mean, he's going off as the wide receiver 45 right now. I mean, in the 10th round, 45 in the 10th round. That's just está loco. Yeah. I mean it's
the Browns.
But okay. What if I told you from week 12 to 17, a good chunk of the season, Baker Mayfield was the QB8 in fantasy?
I'd say so. You said QB8, right?
QB8. So he's a top 10 QB in fantasy.
But there's still other options on that team. Yes. And you're looking at the second to third to fourth throwing option for a QB8 because you can throw to Chubb. You can throw to Hunt, which they always do. You can throw to Hooper. And now you got all these other ones. Exactly. OBJ, so
I think it's going to be OBJ. OBJ and Jarvis Landry are going to get over 100 targets. I think those are the guys that are assured
targets, yes. Over 100. Receptions, no.
No, Landry has some good hands, man. Landry's got great hands. That's for sure.
I want the I look at that and I'm just like, you know what? I want it in the 10th round at that point. I mean, let me look and see what the 10th round looks like. Who's going around him?
Like Miko Hardman's in there.
I mean, it's Brandon just Cooks, like
Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to take a chance on a rookie? On a rookie with a developing
LaVisca Chenault's up there. I'd probably take him.
LaVisca's going in the 8th round. He's going 2 rounds ahead of him. But you're like looking at
I'm looking at non-PPR, sorry.
Are you taking Jarvis Landry or Henry Ruggs?
I'm on the wrong list.
I'm not taking either.
In the 10th round. In the 10th round, if I'm gun to your head. La pistola,
have those two to pick from,
yeah.
I Landry, because I don't even think Ruggs hasn't done crap.
Yeah. So it's like I think
But you're not even giving me options. You're saying, do you want a piece of poop or a cup of pee? Of course, I'll take the cup of pee.
That's the thing. It's at that point. At that point, you're not going to be getting. You're not getting AJ Brown in the 10th round.
I'll find value, Georgie.
No way.
I'll find something there.
Ricky will.
I'll take a chance. Well, you know what?
Ricky's the guy with the marker that fills in the blank sticker and sticks it on there. That's Ricky will find value.
I screwed myself last year with that, man. I picked all the Jacksonville Jaguars except for Robinson.
That's what you get.
I do.
Put that felt.
I will
put
say,
the marker down.
For me, I want to take. I in the 10th round, I'm willing to take the chance because I think I think that Jarvis Landry will outperform that ADP. I really think that's going to happen.
I mean, he only has to be better than the 45th best wide receiver.
I think so. I should be. Let me tell you what the 45 receiver, the number 45 wide receiver was last year. It was Jerry Jeudy, 52 catches, 113 targets, 856 yards, 3 touchdowns. Do you think Jarvis Landry is going to outperform that easily? I think he's going to be over 1,000 yards. I don't know how many touchdowns he's going to get, maybe 5 or 6. But I think he's going to be like 80, like at least 80 receptions.
Why the increase though, Georgie? Why do you think all of a sudden he got better? What makes you think that the Browns got better?
Two things happened. Remember, he was coming off a hip surgery last year. Mm-hmm. So, and Mary Kay Cabot pointed out that in the interview, I'm dropping names, but hey, check out that beat writer series. Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, she pointed out that he was not himself for about the first 4 games of the season. And then he was kind of playing, you know, so he kind of gutted out those first 4 games. He had a couple of residual injuries. It was the second half of the season that he kind of was right. And with that, Baker Mayfield found himself in that offense. So that's when it was the second half of the season when I was telling you 12 to 17, he kind of found his footing in that offense. So that's why I'm kind of like, I'm bullish on Browns this year, because I think they've got a great line. Baker Mayfield is jumping and coming as a quarterback. And I like the value here. I like the value of Jarvis Landry at this point.
I'm going to let you be bullish on them. That's last year, my bullish team was convinced. The Cardinals, and it paid off.
I like the Cardinals a lot this year, too. Give me a Kyler. I'm very close to inching him up to my QB1. I'm very close to, I've got him at number 2 behind Mahomes, and I may be sneaking past there.
Why would you do that? Don't even do that.
Because I think
you're doing that to create controversy.
I think he could get, I know, because I want to be right. I think he was on his way to getting over 1,000 yards last year before he got hurt. So I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to take a step forward.
His legs put him in a whole different category, man. That guy could just,
yeah. He was, man. Through week 11, he was averaging more points per game than Lamar Jackson was the previous season. And, you know, that's 11 crazy. Through 11 games, that's
MVP season. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, man. Well, primos, I think eso es todo for our show. Hey, thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making sure Independent Podcast gets out to the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe. Also, subscribe on our YouTube channel. Please give us a like. Give us a like on there.
Hit that subscribe button.
Please hit that subscribe button. We've been getting a lot of good traffic to our YouTube channel in this beat right
now. Turn on the notifications. So, notifications yes. turned on.
Yeah, so you can find out when we're going in vivo. So
that's right.
And also on the audio, you make sure you're subscribing. Apple, Google, Spotify. Make sure you're checking out our original content at familiaffb.com. Make sure you find Primo Ricky. Where are you finding him?
Ricky Torres TV.
Primo Hector.
What the heck?
With how many T's?
Two T's.
And you can find me at Jorge Martin 17. Also, don't forget at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram. Otra vez, everybody. Muchas gracias for joining us. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.